This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
That Sports Show with Mal, your host tonight. We've got a busy show tonight. Stu's, of course, still in Europe enjoying himself on his European vacation. Tonight on the show, we're going to be talking about cycling, tennis, cricket, soccer, Olympics, of course, because guess what? There's only 9 days to go to Rio. I'm very excited. And rowing and swimming. Now, we'll be talking news of the week with Anna, if she's on the line.
Good evening, Mel.
Anna, you are with us. That's good. Good to know. You're my co-host during the news of the week. Now, Anna, first thing up was the Tour de France finished over the weekend. And this is your baby because you love the cycling. So give us a bit of a rundown of what happened in the end.
Well, I really only watch it for Gabriel Gatto's cooking and for the beautiful scenery, Malcolm.
Yes.
But 198 of the world's best pro cyclists started the Tour de France on the 2nd of July, and 175, a record number of them, finished in Paris last Sunday night.
Yes.
With Great Britain's Chris Froome winning his third yellow jersey, despite at one stage crashing into the back of a motorbike and having to run uphill while waiting for his bike to be brought to him.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many people on the road.
Yes, the spectators get in the way, don't they?
Oh, it's dreadful. They stand in the middle of the road taking selfies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shocking.
Anyway.
And very dangerous, and I'm sure they're all drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Tassie's Richie Port, in his first tour, not as a Froome support rider, leading his own team, finished a gutsy fifth after he lost a large amount of time due to a puncture on the second stage and had some pretty awful luck at some other times. The king of the mountains was the Polish Rafał Majka, with the world champion Slovak Peter Sagan taking out the sprint competition for the fifth year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these cyclists, although they are professionals, they will be competing in the Rio Olympics, which will be relevant later.
Yes.
And Australia's team is Rowan Dennis, Richie Port, and Simon Clark, who's replaced the injured Simon Gerrans, who had a terrible crash.
Mm-hmm.
And the final day of the Tour de France was also notable because the last few years, the Tour de France has put on a ladies' event on the final day. It's called Le Course.
Yes.
Meaning the course or the race.
Yes.
By the Tour de France. And it's around the same cobble streets and the Champs-Élysées as the men finished the race on.
Mm-hmm.
And Australian Chloe Hosking got up.
Right.
In a very tight finish.
Yes.
So congratulations, Chloe. But she's not going to Rio. The road team for Rio for the women are former world silver medalist Rachel Nayland, Amanda Spratt, Katrin Garfoot, and Gracie Elvin.
Okay, good, good, good. Oh, that's great, Anna. Thank you for your little report there on the Tour de France. Now, tennis this week was played in America and Europe. They're finishing off the clay court season in Europe, and Feliciano Lopez won at Gstaad in Switzerland, and Paolo Lorenzi won in Kitzbühel in Austria, and Fabio Fognini won in Umag in Croatia. Now
Lorenzi
was
the oldest man to win his first ATP title. How old was he, Mal?
No, I don't know, Anna. You tell me.
34.
There's hope for everyone yet. And then on in the hard courts of North America in Washington, Gail Monfils and Janina Wickmeyer won in Washington, and Johanna Konta won in Stanford in the California, beating Venus Williams in the
British
final.
British girl, born
in Australia. She's moved up to number 14 in the world. They may have a top 10 woman soon. So that was tennis. And that leads us to the next thing, Anna. Roger Federer has announced that he's pulled out of the Olympics and that his season is over because he retweaked a knee injury at Wimbledon, and he won't return until next year's Hopman Cup in 2017 in Perth. Now, is that it for him? Who knows? He wants to play on, but who knows? That could be it. What do you think?
He's calling it an extensive rehab, not a possible retirement.
Mm.
But this year's surgery was the first surgery he's ever had to have on the tour.
Yes.
And it's the first year, this year, since 2000, but he hasn't won a title.
That's right. But so, look, he's getting older, Anna, and he has to realise he's not going to be at the top of the game forever, and he will go down eventually.
But he's only a year older than Carlo Lorenzi, who just won his first ATP title.
I know, and Radek Stepanik at 38 is still going round. Now, Anna, that's tennis news for the week. Now, netball, we were talking about that last week, and this week the two semi-finals were played, and the Queensland Firebirds beat the Southern Steel, and the New South Wales Swifts beat the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic, and that means that the final is a rematch of the Australian Conference Final, and it's between Brisbane and Sydney, and it's in Brisbane, and you told
me before, it's a rematch of last season's final as well.
That's right, and in the last 3 or 4 years, it's always been an Australian final, hasn't it?
It has indeed,
yes.
Which is probably one reason why the Trans-Tasman Netball League is wrapping it up after this
That's
year.
Right. It was a good experiment, but obviously the Australian clubs were richer and had better talent pools, but New Zealand had the media coverage, because netball's a much bigger sport in their country than it is in ours. But they'll be playing it alone themselves next year. Now, cricket, Anna. Cricket. It started. Australia is playing Sri Lanka in Kandy in the first test. And it's what I would call a bowler's paradise, because... Yeah, because in the first innings, Sri Lanka were bowled out for 117, and then in Australia's first innings, they only made 203. But
that's still a lead of 86.
I know, and that is a big lead in situations like this. Kandy is in the central highlands of Sri Lanka, and it's similar, probably, I'd say, to a Brisbane pitch, which is humid and a fast bowler's pitch. So I think that, you know, if Australia keeps going the way they're going, they may win the match, and Sri Lanka may have second innings lead, but not by much. What do you think?
Well, I do think, Mel, that you're quite right when you say it's a lot like Brisbane in Kandy. Mm. That's what seems to be the consensus of the people who are actually there, because I've never been to Kandy, have you?
No, but it's in a tropical place, and Brisbane's the only tropical test cricket ground we have in Australia.
That's true, because we don't play tests in Darwin, as far as I know.
They have played matches in Darwin and Cairns against Bangladesh.
Ah, I see. Yeah. But were they one day as or test?
I think they played a test, a one-off.
Okay.
Anyway,
but
so...
I didn't know.
Yeah.
But anyway...
there
the
you
moment,
go.
The top scorer in the Australian innings didn't even make 50.
No,
so I'd say you're quite right when you say it's a bowler's wicket.
Yes.
And, well, we can certainly hope that the Sri Lankans put up a bit more of a fight in the second innings, but it doesn't look like it since they're 1 for 7 at... lunch.
It was tea. And that score was probably half an hour ago. So the tea break may be over and there may have been another wicket. Who knows?
But then again, yesterday they didn't play at all after tea.
No, because it rained.
So the weather might stop Australia winning.
Sure. Anyway, that's good cricket news, and we'll be hearing a lot more about the Aussie men and women cricketers over the summer. Now, last night, if you didn't know, there was a football match, as they call it, in Europe, between Juventus and Tottenham at the MCG. Now, Juventus are the Italian giants from Turin, and Tottenham are, of course, from London. And the match...
They didn't even finish second on the EPL, Malcolm.
No, I know. They... yes, yours, Liverpool.
I am not.
Oh, you're Arsenal. Sorry,
I hate Tottenham Hotspur with a passion.
Oh, sorry, got it wrong. Wrong London team. I should know better.
Liverpool's not even from London, dear.
No, I know that. That's my friend Alastair's. His is Liverpool. I got you mixed up between Anna and Alastair. Now,
I do apologise.
That's okay. Now, of course, it was a 2-1 win to Juventus, but to Australian fans, it's wow, you're getting your big clubs, but they're not fielding their full strength teams, were they?
I don't think they brought anything like a normal squad. There were 17 substitutions in the second half, combining both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs started with a back four with only one player having had any EPL minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Juve didn't bring their superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pre-season friendly, because a lot of the European players have just finished the Euro 2020 2016 championships.
That's right. They have. They have. And so they're having a rest. So it was badly timed, really.
It's a long way to come.
It is. That's right. But it's big for the...
We're grateful that they came.
Yeah, but it's big for the young players getting a go. Now, moving from an Olympic venue, the MCG, onto the Olympics itself. Now, of course, it's 9 days
Kitty
to go.
Kitty Chiller, Malcolm.
Yes, Kitty Chiller. It's all about Kitty. Now, someone said, I heard this week, that that's a bad name for an Esky, Kitty Chiller. now, I know, it's funny.
You shouldn't have said that on air.
It's okay.
Not to laugh now.
No, it's all right. Kitty has been in the news this week saying that the Australian athletes had arrived in Rio and they were wanting to move into the village, but the accommodation wasn't up to standard because there were still plumbing, electricity issues and gas issues, and some of them weren't fit for use. Now, it's not just Australia saying that. Belarus has already been saying that as well. And from what I can see on the pictures.
And the Dutch had a fire when there was an electrician working in there.
Oh, okay.
Accommodation.
I didn't know that. So but, there's more. But what I can see is...
They hadn't run a stress test.
Yeah.
They hadn't run proper stress tests.
Yeah.
There are 31 tower blocks in the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
And only 12 of them have been officially passed the safety inspection.
That's right. And that's what I was going to say. It's a huge...
every tap and every shower.
Yeah.
Plus every toilet all at the same time.
That's right. Because that's possible.
And the Russians did that. And they flooded their building.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right, there's 31 towers. There'll be a future suburb, basically. Hopefully they don't turn into a ghetto in the future, but they aren't ready. Just like everything else in Rio, they're not ready, and I'm concerned that there'll be a lot more problems. But look...
a lot of the venues are rather stunning, though.
Yes.
The cycling race, for example, starts at Copacabana Beach.
Yes, yes, yes. But Kitty Chiller is saying that the athletes are moving in. There's about 60 there now of our... strong team in the country. Now, some people who have just joined the team, Anna, are the women's eight rowers. They got a late call up because they were the first team just to miss out. They became the reserves. Now, the Russians have been banned because of their doping issues.
Because one of their crew members has actually served a doping ban, and the IOC's now made that rule that if you've already served a doping ban, you're not eligible for this Olympics.
That's right.
And it makes one wonder why they're not applying that to the American athletes, such as Justin Gatlin,
yes,
who currently holds the fastest time in the world this year, over 100 metres.
That's right. And I think once a cheat, always a cheat. But the rowers...
the Russians, why not the Americans?
Yeah. Yes, look, I agree, Anna, and I believe that the Americans are just as bad, and they'll get found out. Now, the women's eight rowers... I've joined the team, and that has meant that there are more female rowers than male rowers for the first time. And
there
are
actually more female athletes in the Australian team altogether than
too.
There are men.
Well, that's even better. Thank you, Anna, because on the show here, we're very much into promoting women's sport. Now, the women's eight rowers, I wonder if, though, since they became reserves, whether they've still been training. I hope so.
Well and truly, because they would have been hoping against hope that they'd get a call up for some reason. The qualifying regattas were not that long ago, so
no.
I can imagine that they will put in their absolute best efforts, and who knows, they might be so thrilled that it carries them through a tight finish.
Yes. Now, Anna, that's right, that's right. You need to have that fitness right to the end. Now, the Olympics, of course, for Australia, we do rely on our swimmers giving us most of our medals, and that is probably what will be the case throughout Rio as well. We hope to have a good start.
I think the Australian Olympic Committee is certainly hoping for that because historically, swimmers have provided 39% of all our medals at all Olympics since 1896.
Yes.
With 42% of gold medals coming
yes.
from this one sport. And you think of all the wonderful sports there are in the Olympics.
Yes, there are a lot, yes. And
there's even golf and rugby sevens.
Yes, but rugby sevens, we're the favourite in the women's.
Which is pretty cool.
Yes, it is very cool.
I believe that some of the players for the...
For the who?
I can't remember. What's the name of that wonderful the rugby competition in Sydney, the gay competition?
The Bingham Cup?
The Bingham Cup, yes.
Yes.
I believe there's a female version of the Bingham Cup.
Right.
And I believe some of the players may well be part of the Australian Rugby Sevens team.
Right. Well, there you go. You learn something relevant every day. Now, Anna, we're going to finish up News of the Week with just something that is kind of sporty. It's the sporting themes. Now, the new song has been released for the Rio Games, and it's called Rise by Katy Perry. Now, that is the latest one.
Brazilian.
Sorry?
She's not even Brazilian.
I know she's not. Celine Dion, a Canadian, sang the Atlanta
Vancouver
one.
Vancouver Olympics.
Yeah.
She did boo the Atlanta one.
Yeah, no, she did.
Very strange.
The Atlanta one. Yeah, she wasn't American. She was Canadian.
Whereas but for Barcelona, they had Montserrat Caballé, the opera singer, with
Freddie Mercury.
Well, yes. England via Zanzibar.
Yes.
Freddie Mercury. And that, to my mind, is still the best Olympic song now.
Mm, yes. Well, Anna, I like the Kitsch one from 1980, Moscow by Genghis Khan. I've always loved that one. That was my first game that I remember.
It had some very strange lyrics, Malcolm, if you actually listened.
Oh, I didn't listen to the lyrics.
I don't think they had much to do with the sport at all.
It was fun, but there were some good themes over the time. I do like the Celine Dion, Power of the Dream from 1996. And, yes, I do like the Freddie Mercury Montserrat Caballé one from from 1992. But that actually wasn't the official one, the Friends for Life from Sarah Brightman and Jose Carreras was just the official. Yes, that's right.
Amigos para siempre.
Friends for life. Mm-hmm. Yes. So lots of good songs are going out there.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Now, coming up, we were going to be speaking to Gary Oliver from the Nomads, and he's running extremely late, but I think I heard the buzzer for the studio that he might be coming up now. So, Anna, are you still with us?
I am indeed.
Yes.
I've got a couple more things forgot to mention.
Sure, you can mention a few more things. And Gary, when he gets in the studio, he's going to have a very quick chat to us about the Nomads. Anyway, fire away, Anna.
It's a bushwalking group, isn't it, Mal?
That's right. Fire away, Anna.
Well, again, relevant to the Olympics, Mal. Next week, can we please talk about Olympic mascot?
Oh, yes. That would be good.
Misha the Bear from Moscow.
That's right. Remind me about that. And what else would you like to
And Nini,
raise?
Ollie, and what's its name from Sydney?
Oh, they were those three of them, Ollie and Sydney and
Millie and Sid. That's the one.
No, Millie. It was Millie.
Ollie, Millie and Sid.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
But Roy and HG called them something slightly different.
And what about, what is it? That one from Atlanta?
Good Lord.
What was that, really? What was that?
I don't know. That's why they called it What Is It?
Yes, that's
but
right.
But with the Olympics this year, I'm 50 now, and I think I might actually take up dressage.
Why?
Because Mary Hanna, at 61, will be representing Australia at her 5th Olympics this year in the dressage.
Right.
She's the oldest competitor in the Australian team.
Yes.
The youngest is a 16-year-old footballer.
Yes.
Girl footballer.
But you can't remember her name, can you?
No, I can't. I think it's Chloe, but I'm not sure.
And that's all right.
And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Mary Hanna will actually be the oldest competitor in the equestrian for Australia.
Yes.
Since Bill Roycroft in 1976 at Montreal.
Yes.
She's nearly 4 months older than he was when he competed.
And he
was an absolute legend of Australian equestrian sport.
That's right. He competed with a broken arm, didn't he, Anna?
He did. It was very famous. And because the team needed him, because for the event he was competing in, you had a team score.
Yes.
And you were only allowed to drop the worst, and they had somebody else who was also worse injured.
Yes.
So he had to run, had to compete.
And he competed with a broken arm, and they got medal, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. I'm not sure what colour it was.
His son, Wayne, has been an Olympian of long standing for Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter-in-law, Vicky.
Yes.
Quite a dynasty, the Roycroft.
Yeah, there they are.
The equestrian is the only sport in the Olympics where men and women compete on equal terms.
That's right, because it's up to the horse.
And I think that's Exactly. Well, the well-trained horse,
yeah.
The rider.
Yes.
The riders compete on equal terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, equestrianism should be the sport that Joy 94.9 takes on.
Why? And because it's equality.
For the Olympics.
Equality.
Equality, yes.
Oh, yes.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, Anna, we should, that should be our sport. We should get a that sport show horse and call it Joy. 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 Joy.
Well, Joy. Joy 94.9. Do you think you can call it 94.9?
No, I don't think so.
You could call it 0.9 for short.
Oh, you could. You could. Now, Anna, coming up at 8:30 is Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona Denae and the reserve bench. They have one or two or three of the other girls that come in as well. I saw the girls.
And I'm sure they'll be talking about the new women's league that the AFL.
Oh yes, they love the women's league, and we'll leave that to them. But that's in 7 or 8 minutes' time,
and we're filling it again because is Gary Oliver there yet?
You know, he hasn't turned up, so Anna, we might have to reschedule him. So for the next few minutes, we'll keep talking more sport because there's sport going on all the time. I didn't even mention golf. I didn't mention other sports that have been going on during...
Well, I think that was probably the most exciting final round of the British Open I've seen in years.
Yes. Tell
that
me more.
Not last weekend, but the weekend before.
Yes.
Phil Mickelson and the eventual winner, whose name escapes me, but I do apologize.
Dustin Johnson.
That's him?
Yes.
They were neck and neck all the way around the final round, and of course they were playing together because they were at the top of the leaderboard.
Yes.
And I think Mickelson shot 9 birdies and an eagle and still didn't manage to win.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy just played amazing, and Mickelson was the first to congratulate him.
Mm. Yeah, well, it can happen. And golf will be an open field at the Olympics, Anna, because a lot of the top men are not going. They're fearful for Zika virus, but all the top women are going. Now, it will be a showcase for women's golf, and with golf, anyone's really got a chance at any day. You know, there's no real favourite, I don't think, with golf, and so anyone could win a medal. In the men's, and anyone could win a medal in the women's.
Because, of course, it's also a new course. It's not one of those traditional courses that they're used to playing
on. Yes, yes, definitely. So
they'll all have to get used to it.
Yes, definitely.
Whoever adapts the conditions will do the best.
Yes, they will. They will. They will. And that's how golf works. And look, in all the other sports too, the pressure of it being an Olympics. Favourites sometimes crash and burn, and someone comes up from the middle of nowhere and then becomes an instant national hero for whatever country they're competing for.
I think that's called doing a Bradbury, Malcolm.
Yeah, yes, yes. The famous Stephen Bradbury, who managed to win because everyone else fell over. You have to be the one that comes across the line first within the rules, and he was.
And nobody at the time remembered that he'd been up there for 10 years. And he already had a silver medal as a member, a bronze medal as a member of a relay team.
That's right.
But and he'd been out there with very little funding, an awful lot of hard work, and some horrible injuries to those skates.
Yes,
he deserved it.
Yes, he did. Now,
even the great favourite American Apollo Antonino said that if it wasn't him, he couldn't think of a better bloke to get it.
Mm. Anyway, Anna, thank you for joining me for an extended News of the Week this week.
My pleasure.
Because Gary was unable to make it, and we'll have to reschedule him for the future to talk about the Nomads, the gay and lesbian walking group here in Melbourne. Now, you've been on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. I've been Mal, your host, and I will be with you again next week. Thank you for listening.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.